Hello everybody, this is Tantra FM and I'm your host Valentino. Today we shall be dealing with the following articles. Food and the act of eating. If you want to know how somebody acts during lovemaking, watch closely when and how he eats. What you don't know about some aphrodisiacs. What are aphrodisiacs? Aphrodisiacs are any substance or activity which stimulates sexual desire and pleasure. You're probably not aware that apples, bananas, carrots, and celery are aphrodisiacs, so we're going to elaborate on that subject. With carrots and celery, you could do amazing things. An Oriental proverb says, "You eat what you are, and you are what you eat." This means that the different kinds of foods provide us with different energies, so it is very important to know what we eat every day if we want to be healthy, full of vitality, and of sexuality. Let's talk about sexual continence. Sexual continence is simply described as making love without emitting semen, or by the recommendation that one should hold, contain, stop, or stabilize one's semen, or by speaking about sex as being endless. Because there is no accidental male sexual release in sexual continence, erotic fusion between lovers is not forced end. Imagine the possibilities. The second chakra, Svadhisthana chakra. People that are mainly influenced by Svadhisthana chakra can make quite the impression. They have an active and vivid imagination, as well as the aptitude of verbalizing their perceptions, which make them very suited for professions such as translator or that involve guiding or healing. Therefore, naturally, towards the end of our broadcast, we will be performing a meditation designed to help you amplify and control the energies that belong to Svadhisthana chakra. Food and the act of eating. There is an old saying that goes something like this. If you want to know how somebody acts during lovemaking, watch closely when and how he eats. Those who eat in a hurry or noisily, getting their hands and even face dirty, are usually people who almost don't care at all about their partner. If we watch closely the way our lover eats, and if we analogically associate it with the way he acts during sexual intercourse, we will become aware that the aforementioned saying is perfectly justified. Furthermore, it has been noticed that when a person falls in love, he treats his or her lover carefully, and therefore in most cases, he or she spontaneously changes the way he or she eats. The act of eating is as important for the perpetuation of the species as the act of reproduction. They are strongly correlated, and each of them produces a certain type of pleasure. But human beings, being endowed with creative intelligence, have not been satisfied with only eating and perpetuating the human species, but have evolved and turned these two vital acts into rituals. People sometimes turn them into their main aims in life as well. Of course, unfortunately, we can't always turn our lunch into a ritual. Sometimes we eat our sandwiches while waiting for the bus, but even then, we must be glad and completely aware of our gestures, performing them carefully. This is valid even if we make love in the elevator. Each time we eat, we can extract the maximum pleasure, fully enjoying this act consciously, which will help us recover our vitality. Also, it is not an accident that both the language for food and for love is full of French words. It is well known that the French consider both of them an occasion to celebrate. These actions imply for them a stage full of sensorial pleasures. If we are healthy, the physical act of eating is extremely pleasant. At that moment, the lips and tongue are fully stimulated, and the sense of smell and taste are enhanced. It is the same as in the case of a wonderful lovemaking session. We could experience different sensations regarding the way we kiss our lover and what part of his or her body we kiss. Dining with somebody usually produces a true visual, taste, and tactile pleasure. The great joy of a dinner may be surpassed only by the delight of making love. Everyone may guess, unless he or she has not experienced it, the unforgettable pleasure of making love after a romantic dinner, which takes place just like a ritual, in a beautiful place in front of a fireplace, or under the star-filled sky on a summer evening. After experiencing this just once, you will want to do it again. It is important not to eat too much or too fast, because this may affect the pleasure we feel while making love. The effects of lovemaking might be diminished because our attention will be focused on digesting, blurring the beautiful state that is felt after sexual intercourse. What you don't know about some aphrodisiacs. After her glorious, quote-unquote, death, Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love, leaves us an invaluable legacy, aphrodisiacs. What are aphrodisiacs? Aphrodisiacs are any substance or activity which stimulates sexual desire and pleasure. You're probably aware that apples, bananas, carrots, and celeries are aphrodisiacs, so I'm going to elaborate on that fact now. The apple. The apple is the ultimate symbol of our own sexuality, because Adam was tempted by Eve with an apple. There's an ancient folk saying that if you cut an apple from top to bottom, the temptation which Eve offered to Adam will be revealed to you. Carry out the experiment and you will realize that you are looking at the shape of a vulva. Apples and cider possess aphrodisiac and rejuvenating qualities. Magic use of apples. Apples weren't only used as food in Europe around the Middle Ages, they were also used in magic rituals of love. I will tell you about one of these. If a woman loves a man who doesn't respond to her advances, she has to sleep with a beautiful apple under her arm or in some other private place. In the morning, she has to persuade her man to eat it. A short time afterwards, she will become the apple of his eye, so to speak. The banana. The erotic reputation of the banana comes from its unmistakable shape, even though its excellent nutritional qualities help to increase the sexual appetite. Bananas were delighting the European palate and imagination as early as the 16th century. Magic use of bananas. Bananas, like apples, could be used in love magic. If a woman loves a man who doesn't respond to her advances, she has to perform the next ritual. One night, 2 days before the full moon, she must have an aphrodisiac bath, cleaning herself up, including all her private parts, very well. Then she has to create an erotic atmosphere in her room, using candles, flowers, and sensuous music. After this, she has to lie back in bed and imagine that she's making love to the man she loves. When she feels that she is very excited and her vagina is expanded, she has to take the peeled banana and introduce it into her vagina. Then she has to imagine that it is the penis of her beloved man. After about 15 minutes, she has to pull out the banana and make some kind of cream from it, and mix it up with another 2 bananas. In the morning, she has to persuade the man to eat this cream. A short time afterwards, he will fall in love with her.
Welcome to Tantra FM, a step into bliss. I'm your host, Amaris. With carrots and celery, you can do amazing things. Do you know there is a very significant correlation between your virility and your daily food? An Oriental proverb says, "You eat what you are, and you are what you eat." This means that the different kinds of food provide us with different energies. So it is very important what we eat every day if we want to be healthy, full of vitality, and full of sexuality. Improve your sexual potential by improving your daily food with carrots. Numerous herbalists have recommended carrots as helping in love matters. It is a young vegetable, which means that the predominant subtle energy of the carrot is young or masculine. So if a man eats carrots every day, he will increase his masculine energy. And as a consequence, he will become a very potent man. A popular Arabic recipe for virility. Every morning, stew 3 carrots in milk and eat them as breakfast. Eaten every day, this dish will improve both sexual appetite and performance. And celery. Celery and the root form celeriac are very well known as erotic stimulants. The ancient Greeks regarded celery so highly that they used it in the same way as laurel, making wreaths to decorate the heads of successful athletes. Like the carrot, celery is a young vegetable, so it acts upon men in the same way by increasing virility. Marquise du Pompadour recipe. Marquise du Pompadour, Louis XV's favorite mistress, discovered the amazing effects of celery soup on man's virility. She persuaded Louis XV to eat her celery soup very regularly as an erotic stimulant and aphrodisiac food.
Let's talk about sexual continence. What is sexual continence? It is simply described as making love without emitting semen, or by the recommendation that one should hold, contain, stop, or stabilize one's semen, or by speaking about sex as being endless. Because there is no accidental male sexual release in sexual continence, erotic fusion between lovers is not forced to end. Therefore, this type of lovemaking provides a sexual context that is not hurried and allows lovers to become immersed in the endless moment of the present, while their bodies spontaneously move together as one. Why should I do this? Of course you will say, okay, I understand what sexual continence means, but why should I do this? What does it offer me? Here is the answer. Lovers ascend to an altered state of consciousness during endless magical sex, not because of the generated friction, tension, or electricity, but because they learn to discover the other side of lovemaking, ecstasy. Therefore, mystical sexual continence does not primarily refer to a particular sexual duration, but to the state of mind during sex, an attitude in which you learn to live only in the present, without worrying about anything else. Sexual feelings come out spontaneously and carry lovers along in the effortless flow of whatever is happening. On the other hand, mental absorption and spontaneity become irrelevant if sex has already ended prematurely. And it is impossible to be mentally absorbed in the present if one is chronically worried that lovemaking will come to an abrupt end. Sexual continence is the background of mystical sex, within which one can learn to let go of one's covert self-talk commentary and catch on to one's ability to make love spontaneously, freely, and naturally. One more thing. A common characteristic of human beings is the search for happiness. To experience ecstasy is a profound desire in all our hearts. Sexual continence is a way to fulfill this desire. The how-to of sexual continence. First step. First of all, you have to understand that the whole process of lovemaking, up to the very moment of emission, is voluntary, entirely under the control of the mind, and can be stopped at any point. Now, you can start to make love, but remember these rules. 1. Slow motion. Do whatever you want. Foreplay, intercourse, but in slow motion. Kiss in slow motion, touch in slow motion, thrust in slow motion. Approach the whole experience so very gradually that you don't even begin to get close to the end. 2. Slow breathing. Do whatever you want, but breathe in slow motion. If you lose breathing control, you can be sure that you will lose sexual control as well. So when you notice yourself breathing fast, you have to slow down. Breathe easily, relax, and wait until you calm down. 3. 3 shallow and 1 deep thrust. Do whatever you want, but practice 3 shallow and 1 deep thrust and carry out the thrusts 81 times a set. If you feel that you have become too excited, you should stop the thrusting motion immediately and wait until you calm down, then you can resume again. 4. Concentration. Do whatever you want, but keep your attention awake. Focus your attention on the erotic sensation, and when you feel that you are getting close to the pre-orgasmic level, stop the thrusting motion immediately and focus your attention on the area of your heart. Seven gates towards the universe. Second gate, Svadhisthana Chakra. The second center of force, known as Svadhisthana, is located in the area right above the sexual organs. It represents sensorial consciousness, eroticism, imagination, and it is associated with the creative potential energy. On a psychic level, this center of force determines desires, imagination, hallucinations, sensuality, and the need to have a family. On a physical level, it controls assimilation, procreation, the lymphatic system, and menstrual secretions. The yogic literature states that the improper activation of Svadhisthana Chakra may have the effect of orienting and pushing one's psychic downwards, causing agitation and mental confusion. People mainly influenced by Svadhisthana Chakra can make quite the impression. They have an active and vivid imagination, as well as the aptitude of verbalizing their perceptions, which make them very suited for professions that involve guiding or healing. The message corresponding to the second chakra is respect each other. It applies to interactions we have with other people and to any new life forms we may encounter. From a spiritual point of view, each relationship we develop, from the most formal to the most intimate, has an inherent role to help us become more aware and to spiritually evolve. On the physical level, the energy specific to the second chakra symbolize all our relationships. They can be understood as being a kind of spiritual messengers. Through this interaction, we discover, as we could in a mirror, our own qualities and faults, and thus we have the chance to enhance the good and eliminate the bad. The energy characteristic to the first chakra, represented by the group mentality, is divided into polarities at the level of the second chakra. The polarity is male-female, or man and woman. Understanding this polarity is equal to understanding the message transmitted by this level. The existence of the dualistic energies ensures that we are attracted to certain relationships in order to gain a better understanding of ourselves. Opposites attract. This is a well-known law that makes us assimilate from the people we have relationships with the very qualities that we lack and they have. The challenge of the second chakra is learning to interact on a conscious level with others, and this interaction offers great support for our spiritual development. Surpassing the limit of group choices, which we mentioned in a previous article as being related to the first chakra, we now need to learn the difference between positive and negative choices. The choice itself is a process of creation. At this level, creativity is a form of evolution. The creative energy needs to be allowed to manifest freely and completely, because this creativity pulls us up from routine and other limitations. One of the lessons we need to learn is that choice is in fact a creative act of our spiritual power, and the responsibility of our actions based on those choices belongs entirely to us. The person next to you is your mirror. Our inner power will never grow if we allow ourselves to be seduced by money, fashion, or uncontrolled eroticism. At this stage, an imbalance is known as the phenomenon of mimesis, proof that even though the person has overcome the first limit, that particular person does not yet have the inner strength required to manifest his or her own individuality and qualities. All manifestations related to fashion, money, and high society affairs are connected to this level. If we truly desire control over our own life, we don't need to be that extroverted. We need to focus our attention on what is happening inside our own being. The suffering and discontentment we have to put up with do not really occur because of unfavorable social or external circumstances, but because of our own thoughts and attitudes to the world around us. On this level, we need to discover our true inner motives, the ones that make us act or react one way or the other. At this point, our journey towards perfection requires that we approach our relationships in a new and superior manner. We need to make choices that will allow us to transcend duality. As long as we focus on controlling other people, we maintain conflicts within ourselves. Seeing others and ourselves as being close and united will allow us to gain a different perspective on life. Another characteristic of this chakra is the need to have a family. Unlike the first chakra, where it was essential to fight for survival of the individual and of the group, here the emphasis is laid upon perpetuating the species. On this level, the creative sexual desire comes forth. Here, sexuality is a way of expression, creating its own facility for relating to the people around us. The more open and profound our attitude is towards sexuality, the greater our possibility of evolving spiritually. Perfect control of our own sexual energy is imposed on this level in order to be able to ascend even higher. For a better understanding of what this control means, we suggest you read the articles related to transmutation, sublimation, orgasm, and sexual continence that are also found on this site. The person who concentrates intensely and meditates profoundly on this chakra and its corresponding energies will never fear water. This person will gain great psychic powers, great imagination, intuitive knowledge, and a perfect control over the sexual function and the senses. Such a person will also easily get to know the astral worlds, limiting qualities such as passion, anger, attachment, vanity, jealousy, and other psychic impurities are easily and completely eliminated. Such a person's body will regenerate easily and will even know immortality. Swami Shivananda.
Hello and welcome to Tantra FM, the key to your heart. I'm your host, Amaris. Let us perform a meditation with the following theme: amplifying the second center of force, Svadhisthana Chakra. In order to help our concentration and to create a better resonance with the aspect we're meditating upon, we shall use proper musical support. Sit down on a chair with your spine straight, or assume a meditation pose such as Sukhasana, Vajrasana, or Padmasana. For those of you that are still unfamiliar with these positions, you can learn about them on www.shivashakti.com. Make sure your spine, your neck, and your head are in an upward position, and they form a straight line. Relax your entire body. Empty your mind and acquire a strong inner focus. Do not allow anything to disturb your concentration at this point. Start breathing deeply and rhythmically. With each inhalation, imagine that you're bringing peace and harmony into your being. Also, with each exhalation, imagine that you're eliminating all tension, stress, and anything else that might disturb you right now. Focus your attention on the zone right above your sexual organs, which represents the projection of Svadhisthana chakra in your physical body. The symbolic representation of Svadhisthana chakra is a lotus flower with 6 petals, symbolizing the 6 energy channels, or nadis, situated here. It represents sensorial consciousness, eroticism, imagination, and it's associated with the potential creative energy. The element it resonates with is the subtle energy of water. Now we're ready to begin. It is time to focus our mind and meditate upon the following aspect: amplifying the second center of force, Svadhisthana chakra. Let us begin. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you've enjoyed your time with us and that you will join us again for our next broadcast.